Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. As you can see, it's just myself tonight. J-Mac was not afforded the luxury of getting away from his 9-to-5 tonight because it's a midweek episode. But not to worry, because the banter will still flow. We're joined tonight by, I am joined tonight, it's just a creature of habit there, by Kieran Hickey, who has created such a phenomenal short. I don't use the word horror, because horror to me is like proper stabby, but I think there's horror in this, definitely, especially if you look at through the eyes of a parent. But I don't want to go on too much. I want to get Kieran in, and I'm going to go ahead and play the trailer, and then we will chat to Kieran. Kieran, welcome to the show. I don't think that trailer does it justice. I mean, I know it's a short film and a short trailer, but like, I mean, I'll send you. So J-Mac isn't here tonight, of course, because he's stuck in the grind. But we did chat back and forth, and earlier today I says, do you want to pass a message on to Kieran on your behalf? And he says, just tell him I loved it. The ending made me feel genuinely uncomfortable. What he managed to do with that moment was fucking spectacular. So,
well, thank you, J-Mac. Goodness gracious, that's high praise.
I mean, where to begin? In fact, I know where to begin. We always ask fellow filmmakers before we even get into anything, just to kind of understand you a little bit. What are your favorite films?
John Carpenter's The Thing is number one.
Oh, phenomenal.
Ridley Scott's Alien is, I wouldn't even say a close second, but it's second. And yeah. Then Pan's Labyrinth is very much up there as well. Anything Del Toro is kind of gold in my book. And funnily enough, I think another one, just like, you know, a runner-up coming in out left field, Everything Everywhere All at Once, I think was a fantastic movie.
Which is great, because see, when you speak to anybody now, when you say what's your favorite film, like you're talking 80s, 90s at a push, but nothing beyond the 90s does anybody ever mention, right? So it's nice that you kind of had a little bit of contrast there with something that's new. So
yeah, I mean, it's just when people can do something totally harebrained and still make it work, it's just super, super impressive. And I think that was, but likewise, pretty horror-centric otherwise.
That's excellent. This film, it's hard to describe to people. If I was to describe your film to anyone, I would say it was... So I felt there was elements of The Mist meets Fallout, you know, the game series.
Oh, yeah.
So in regards to the setting, but with some really heart-punching, I mean, there's not a lot of words said in your short film for the first wee bit, but the word, I felt like every word that was used was not wasted. So where did you get the inspiration to create such a, I'll call it a masterpiece, because that's what we all felt it was.
Well, thank you very much. Very high praise. you know what it was? It was during a... I remember it was March 2020, a month that, you know, of course, nothing happened in. But I remember I was talking to a producer friend. We were supposed to go off and do some commercials, you know, just some spec commercials just to kind of show people, hey, look, we exist. Let's go, you know, make some money together and stuff like that. And I pick up the phone to him and I kind of say, hey, yeah, there's this thing, this COVID thing. Is that something we should worry about? And he goes, I always imitate him with a cigarette. And he's like, nah, man, I said, fine.
Anybody that does that doesn't worry about anything.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Shout out to producer Finbar Crotty. But he's like, don't worry about it, man. It'd be grand.
Yeah.
But of course, the next day it wasn't grand. And everything went to lockdown. And then it kind of got to the middle of the summer. And... you know, you're kind of getting a little antsy, you know, and I kind of went back through my vault of scripts that I've kind of written since college and stuff. Mm-hmm. And there was one there that took place during the rapture. And it was kind of like, it was basically like a lone wanderer kind of going through stuff. I'd after been finishing playing The Last of Us Part 2 as well.
So my wife's favorite.
Oh, it's amazing.
Apart from one thing that happens in it. It was something else, eh? I didn't actually play it, but my wife, she put her controller down in tears at certain points and stuff. Stop. So that's
it's an exhausting trek.
It is. I felt like that. I don't have really a big emotional investment, but I share my wife's love for it. So I watch her get invested, and just she had to take time away. And then even after it, she was like, life after Last of Us, after she completed it, I was like, what now? I need to wait another 10 years.
It actually just rips your heart out, and then it just goes back in and fists the socket. Like, you know, you're just like, stop it.
It does.
But yeah, so it got to a stage where I was kind of going through old scripts, and I just had the apocalypse on the mind, as I'm sure the rest of the world kind of did. And then I just messaged a friend of mine, Joe Van Velsen, and said, do you want to go shoot something that Denis Villeneuve would like to do? And he was like, fuck yeah, dude, let's do it. And then we just workshopped, you know, a tiny 5-page script and shot it in his house and garden with a single actress. And then I spent a few months in After Effects just in this very room.
Wow. Because visually, that's the first thing. I always take little notes when I'm watching something, and it literally is. I'll usually just bullet point, because I know when I write a couple words, I know what that means to myself when I look back on it. And the first thing I wrote was just visually beautiful. Like, if you said, I had no idea you'd done that in a house. Like,
yeah. Yeah, like, we didn't have any money. It was no funding. So it was just all out of my own pocket. So I think the production budget was about $3,000. So that was it. And then it obviously went up a little bit more to accommodate like film festivals, but that's funds that are coming out across a year. We were basically armed at about $3,000 or $4,000, went to Joe's house. We hired Claire J. Loy, our lead actress, who is somebody that I don't want to do any more productions without going forward. She's that good.
She
is in all her glory.
She was. Yeah, brilliant.
She's fantastic. And tiny crew. I don't know if you've ever seen Monsters by Garrett Edwards.
Not to my recent memory, but it's one I'll definitely need to be checking out now.
Oh, it's brilliant. But it was kind of the inspiration in a big way for not the story, but the production of it, because what Garrett Edwards did with that, which is his feature debut, it was like a crew of five went to South America, and they basically made something akin to a kaiju blockbuster off about $500,000, which is insane. To such a point that a few years later, Warner Brothers turned around and go, hey, dude, do you want to do Godzilla? So, you know.
Phenomenal.
So that was our kind of thinking. We were like, we have $4,000 and we have time on our hands. You know, I'm spending $60 a month on Adobe After Effects. Come on, I better start using it. So,
well, that's $60 well spent. I've got a couple comments here in the section. Janice says, hi, guys. Janice is a regular. Hi, Janice.
Hey, Janice.
Matthewman, who is... this guy, if you ever look for like just amazing concept art, or you've probably seen Matthewman's work circulating on the internet, he does he takes like concepts of films and then remakes them, so like alternate movie posters and stuff. The guy's phenomenal.
Yeah, I do totally agree with him. Totally agree with his point on the poster.
He just said
that's my fault.
Pick up on the poster. He says, watched it again earlier today. Phenomenal wee movie. Such a great bleakness captured in such a short space of time. I'm so glad I watched it before I saw the poster, which is a tad spoilery. Loved the ending, by the way. He also goes on to say, tell me what the world was like before it hated us. He says, such an awesome line. Matthewman's favourite film also is, same as yours, Alien. When you were listing off some of your favorite films, I was like, that's right up Matthewman Street as well.
Yeah.
Which is phenomenal. So Matthewman's definitely a fan. The fact that he's went back and watched it again. I actually watched it three times because I felt even though there was not a lot, there was not a lot to miss, I felt like I had to go back so I didn't miss anything. Do you know what I mean? I wanted to keep going back. Yeah. And I think, I don't know, it's just, you have to experience it, which is why I encourage everybody to get the Arrow player and go ahead and watch it. J-Mac commenting as the Jibber Jabber podcast. Look at him. He's at his work and he's watching. He says, hello, I'm listening at work, doing my work with this in the background. I meant every word of what I sent to Kevin. Bravo, Kieran. Make it into a feature.
That would be a dream. And it's not out of the question. The idea is there. I'm at the stage now where I want to move into features, and I'm being very pragmatic about what battle I pick to kick kick that off.
Well, you actually start off there on a good foot. You could walk into a room of people that don't want to spend money and say, guys, $3,000, Adobe After Effects, and a couple green screens, and we made this, right? So imagine what we could do if even... Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
It's actually, it's funny, we didn't even use a single green screen.
Did you not? Wow. Well, here we go. How did you pull it off? Even the monster. Like, so when I was watching that, I thought, that's as good as anything you would see in a Stephen King film. So what did you use? An action figure?
Oh, yeah, this little monster here.
No way! What? That's phenomenal. Really? Yes.
Seeing as the crew was so small, just as a little care package after the movie was done.
Right, I see.
There's only about five. My friend with a 3D printer, I asked him to whip up a few models, sent it to the casting crew, and just said, thanks a mil. But
that's amazing.
But so I suppose going into it, I storyboarded it extensively. Mm-hmm. Joe and I, you know, we're close friends, and we kind of just went into it. I knew, so long as I have a plan, I like to plan things out as meticulously as possible. And then you know well yourself that it never really goes to plan on set.
Never, ever.
Yeah. So, you know, so long as a plan exists, then you can rework it as kind of time goes on. But we had 2 days to film it. And so we just went to Joe's house and we all kind of got together, collaborated. Claire had some great ideas. And we kind of just went at it and got it done in good time. And it's funny because you see Joe's house in real life and it's this gorgeous, beautiful place full of greenery and all this. Uh-huh. And, you know, I can tell for a fact that, like, probably on Claire's mind, if not everyone's, was kind of like, what the fuck is this guy going to do with this? And then it basically just got into the edit. And instead of a green screen, it was entirely rotoscoping. So it was just like painting out the imagery in After Effects. There was some plugin I bought, and I can't remember for the life of me what it's called. It's been a few years, and it's a popular one. It's one where basically it kind of helps you, like, you know, for something like grass or trees, you're able to kind of like draw it out. But I think even After Effects kind of internal rotoscoping tool has gotten really, really capable these days.
The things you can do even with AI and everything on your phone now is scary, scary. Yeah.
We're not allowed to say that word AI, but
I know.
But yeah, it's another tool in the toolkit, you know.
Yeah, totally.
And then the whole time that we were kind of doing that, myself and two friends of mine, Shane Lynch and Niall Byrne, Shane living in Canada as well, the grand Irish exodus to Canada, if not Australia. But they're not working in VFX or anything like that, but they had history in it. Like, you know, they knew how to use some programs. I've dabbled in the past myself, so we just kind of said, fuck it, you know, none of us can leave our houses, you know, we forget what the taste of a pint is, you know, let's busy ourselves and figure out Blender, let's animate a monster, let's design a monster. And phenomenal. And yes, yeah, so that's kind of where that came from. And then, you know, it was a fun way to, you know, get an introductory course to Blender. And, you know, for anybody who's not familiar with Blender as a program, it is an absolute wonder. It's like, it's completely and utterly free, and you could basically make a Hollywood film in it. Like, it's absolutely incredible.
Blender?
Absolutely remarkable. Like, every facet of, not even, like, animation or, like, CGI design, like, even just filmmaking, you can edit it. It's remarkable. Yeah. And even at its inception, it's been going for decades now, but, like, it would have been used for the likes of Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 2, even, you know, back before it was even, you know, as decked out as it is now. So it's incredible.
Spider-Man 2 gets a wee bit of hate, and so the third one gets even worse. I defend the original trilogy. You're coming from yourself, you like the original Spider-Man trilogy?
Oh yeah, 100%. Tree is its own entity for sure, but, like, you know, number two I think is an absolute, you know, masterpiece,
right? The first one for me holds a place in my heart. See, when I saw Tobey Maguire return, and I'm even like, I'm not one of these guys that's like, oh my god, I'm a big Marvel. I'm not, but original Spider-Man, I don't even class that as like MCU. Yeah. That's just Spider-Man for me.
I know, watching Spider-Man 2 as an adult made me feel different things. I was kind of like, yeah, when he, you know, that scene where he's going through the party and picking up a martini and takes a sip and it's empty. I was like, yeah, that's me, man.
It's amazing. I love when you can return to something. Matthew Mann says, the big octopus things and the monsters looked class, by the way.
Yeah.
He says, does the monster have a name?
Yeah, funny thing there. I call them fog walkers. That's a shit.
Fog
name.
Walkers. That's actually class. I like that.
Somebody in the altar, the comments of the altar video,
yeah,
called them anvil heads. And I love that. Because it's kind of what was important to us designing the creature, because we knew we were going to see it entirely in mist, was that the silhouette was going to be the most important element.
Yeah.
And I can kind of credit much of the silhouette to Niall Byrne, a friend of mine who worked on the creature design with me. He kind of, you know, I was trying to go for something a bit more industrial looking to kind of offset, you know, the natural world themes and stuff. But, you know, there's a sure and true way to do monster design sometimes, and the horns kind of worked.
I see three different characters in it, right? Two from a video game and one from a TV series. And we'll see, you're a guy that likes video games, so we'll see if you know them, right? So one is clearly Raiden from Mortal Kombat, right?
Oh yeah.
You can see where that comes in, right? Just as a silhouette. The second, right, would be from the TV series Stranger Things. It's got a hint of the Demogorgon-ish, right?
But yeah, just the kind of gangliness of it.
Yeah. And the third, just as a whole, if I was to stand back a bit, it has the same kind of vibe as there was an Oddworld game called Stranger's Wrath. I don't know
if with the cowboy fella.
Yeah. Right? That's so if you mix them three and shake it a bit.
Nice, his proportions were like fucking mad.
Right? It's like his forearms were like Popeyes.
Yeah. We were kind of one of my favorite video games would have to be Shadow of the Colossus. That was a huge inspiration, because a lot of people kind of say to me, even like yourself, kind of going, yeah, it's very like The Mist, you know, Frank Darabont's Mist. I was like, oh, fuck, yeah, it is actually.
It's just all the fog and the big legs walking past you. That's pretty much it. Hey? But I suppose as well, another kind of callback to The Mist is, and I think it was the one with Thomas Jane. There's some really heavy scenes in that. And I feel that in Terrible Things, like as a parent, watching the scene where, of course, she's talking away to the corpse. That's no spoiling it, right? But she's talking away to a corpse and the things she's saying. I was kind of... And I'm not a deep... See, when I watch a film, I'm not deep. Like, I don't look for the hidden meaning. I just go on the ride, right? But with this, I really found myself going, okay... She's talking to a corpse. Well, of course she's talking to a corpse. She's been living in this, whatever this is, for so long. And she's trying to find some kind of normality because she's kicking about on her own in a hazmat suit. You know what I mean? And then she starts talking about her life, which kind of parallels, I'm not giving too much away, but a lot of that is probably how I would act if I was in that very situation. Where did these themes come from? Did you draw on that from something that you had loved as a different story, or is that just kind of come out of nowhere?
You know, it kind of there's the theme of the filicide, not to spoil it for anyone, but it is this idea that, because I remember reading a story of Trump going to the G8 summit and just like American representatives during the Trump presidency, and kind of going, hey lads, you know what would be great for this planet? Oil. Let's keep doing fucking oil. and these are like family men, you know, quote unquote family men. Who like go home to their wives or their husbands and then their kids, and you're just like, what kind of fucking future are you leaving for your fucking family? Like you're just, you know, you're killing them by a different metric, basically. So that was kind of the jumping off point.
Yeah.
So like a lot of people kind of ask me what the monsters are, like why are they there? Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's just under 10-minute short, so there's only so much time you can spend telling a certain story. Totally. But I like the vagueness of them. But really, for me, what they were is what can now live. Basically, they were the real children of this world, you know.
Yeah.
No matter what the parents, the humans are saying to themselves, they have made a world for hulking, soulless, faceless things that we don't even recognize.
Yeah, and that's smart.
So, you know, and then it's kind of like, you know, again, going back to that line, you know, tell me what the world was like before it hated us. And there is this concept in there that when she's talking about her kid, fairy tales to her kid were not fairies and unicorns, they were in fact birds, things that we take for granted these days.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it was just taking it to like turning it to 11, basically, kind of going, you know, what world are us slash, you know, generations making or leaving for kids, you know. It's very difficult. I think it's such hypocrisy to say, you know, I'm a real family man or I'm a real family person. It's kind of like, yeah, but you know, you're going off there and you're literally kind of like dumping oil into the fucking ocean.
Yeah, which is something else, eh? It's very thought provoking. I really love that part of it. And I, like I say, like, so between myself and J-Mac, co-host, he's the guy that likes, like, he can watch a film. Like, there's certain films I'll just no touch. I'm like, oh man, it's so fucking boring, right? But that's right up his street. So he looks for all that and he gets really invested. Me, I'm all about spiders fighting octopuses, right?
Hey man, that's, absolutely.
That's where
that's
I'm
what
at.
The spider represents, you know.
Well, that's J-Mac. You know, he loves fucking watching snooker. Come on, man. Like, he looks,
hey Mac, are you listening to the slander?
Of course he is. But he loves going to the snooker. What more can be said? But I thought as well, like, I don't know if a feature film would do it justice. I reckon you could get a good TV series out of it, because I feel that there's a, like, you've created almost the, you know, the beginning of its own universe, really. Because
I think an anthology series would be interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, for the story, if I was to do a feature, mm-hmm. one of the story, it's funny, I actually kind of wouldn't change a huge amount as regards maybe, you know, the trajectory. My logline for a feature is the last 24 hours in the last human being's life. And it would be the character that's introduced in the short, basically, but just... Wow. Spending a little bit more time with her and kind of learning a bit more about the world and just kind of watching a human go through kind of the final stages of a life. And then like how, like if we were really to kind of be the voyeurs of, you know, the last moments of our very race, what would those moments look like, you know?
Holy shit. I mean, nowadays it'd just be somebody called over, shiting themselves, right? Maybe 200 years ago.
Yeah. That's why you always put whiskey in your movies. You're just kind of like,
right.
Hey, get them drunk first.
Whiskey saved folk from the Titanic. You know, people went into that water and didn't die because the whiskey was in their system. J-Mac says, yes, I'm listening, taking fucking notes. well, that's what happens when you miss a show, J-Mac. What's the response been so far when you met? Like, once this has gone out and people started speaking to you about it, has it all been the same as what ours has?
It's been very varied. At the same time, I think because we launched on Alter about a year ago or a year and a half now. Oh fuck, it's probably nearly coming up on 2 years. Goodness gracious. Alterversary. And that was great. It was great to kind of, because, you know, so often your short films like live in a vacuum. They go to a few film festivals and, you know, if you're lucky, you get talking to somebody after who'd seen it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, got some really lovely interactions across COVID and stuff when, you know, things went to digital streaming via film festivals and things, you know, which is amazing. Like, you know, fucking people emailing you from Colorado. We got a few emails that I went through a spurt of time and, where it was kind of like American college students emailing me asking for advice on how I made it, which was very humbling and very kind of invigorating. Yeah. And but outside of that, and then of course the wonderful people at Arrow, Alan and everyone, like, just when they reached out towards the end of last year, it was just kind of like, fuck yeah, okay, cool, we're getting somewhere. It's been a really cool response. I think everybody's just usually kind of taken aback by, like, you know, you made it for how much? So
yeah, and where? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like I assumed you'd had like a studio that you'd maybe used, and but I know, I mean, it was hard to see when you showed me that figure. For me, I would have been like, oh, okay, I could believe that you used that. You know, and that must be something in itself, eh? Creating something and then seeing it as a model figure.
It was very cool. Yeah, I think the team, I assume the team were kind of happy with it. I love just having him on top of the wardrobe, kind of going like, you know, yeah, he exists. I would love to dive back into Blender and do like a proper, you know, Hollywood ready model of him.
That would be something else.
Give it time. We'll see what happens. But yeah, and I mean, it's as a short, it's been hugely beneficial. I mean, it's helped me secure funding for my most recent short film as well.
Amazing. Callus.
Callus, exactly.
Callus, yeah.
Which is which is still doing the rounds on the festival circuit. So yeah, it's crazy to think, you know, we just went off and did something to try and avoid dying of boredom during a semi-apocalypse. So we made another apocalypse.
And so, sometimes that's where great ideas, and I think as well, see if you're limited with what you can use. I think that's when you find the best ways to use the things you're limited with, you know?
Oh, big time. And you just start tinkering, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I remember, and again, I'm kind of contradicting myself now because I'm saying earlier, you know, I love to go into a set having everything planned out. But like even on the day, like when we started filming, I didn't even know what kind of grade we were going to go for with the, with the footage. And then it was just, we shot on a red camera with Tokina lenses. And I remember just the natural kind of green ambience from Joe's location. It was just like, okay, the shots have already kind of informed a part of the aesthetic. So we just kind of leaned into the color green, which actually informed, you know, the visual identity and also kind of the theme around the dying world. So that was kind of just a happy accident.
Totally does. For me, again, it was visually beautiful. Janice says the best things happen in situations like that. Janice is always hitting it with some wisdom. She's from Indiana. Which is crazy, eh? Are we American friend that always she's here every week, Janice.
She's reaching far and wide.
for sure. I'm surprised I remember where she's from because I always get it mixed up. Yeah. So there's no plan then to turn it into a feature yet, just the idea and the desire to, is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, tinkering away. I'm working on a feature script now for kind of, if you were to mix Callus with Terrible Things, you'd probably get something in the range of this. Nice. Kind of sci-fi meets Lovecraft in a small secluded Irish setting. So I'm working on that. Again, it's just kind of like choosing, you know, one's battles. I mean, the short was ambitious enough. Whatever about making it, the making it will be fine. It's kind of just trying to convince people to give us, you know, such and such money to kind of make it a reality. That's the scary part for me. But I mean, look, if somebody comes knocking tomorrow and says, you know, here's $500,000 to go make it, it's like, well, we did 10 minutes with 4K. So
yeah,
you know, give us 400K and we'll get you the whole thing.
If $500,000's all you need, I think just using that short alone, I don't think that would be very tough.
Never say never. Get the two ears on board, man. You never know.
exactly. I think it's got much potential. And if someone said to me, in a year from now, Terrible Things has a feature, I would be heavy excited to see it. I run a couple of cinemas here in Scotland, so I do the booking with the distributors of which films we bring, because it's independent. Terrible Things sometimes, so I bring in the blockbusters, but then I've got the pick of all the indie films, and I go and I have to is it going to be one that will get bums in seats, but also there's an element of what one do I really want to see on a big screen, you know?
Yeah.
And this, I think, would tick both of those boxes. I think it'd be brilliant. There was a film that we actually reviewed with John Travolta in it. It came out last year, and I only found out about it through Arrow, and it was called Mobland. It's Stephen Dorff and John Travolta. And so I was like, I said to the guys at Arrow and Fetch, I says, can somebody get me terms on this? Because I think this is really good to bring it to cinema. No other cinema was playing it, of course, because it was just so under the radar. But then when I put it on, like, we done really well with it because people came to see it, word of mouth in the town.
Yeah. And new John Travolta movie alone, like, you know,
It's mad that his name wouldn't take that further than what it did. It's the same with Stephen Dorff. I still rate Stephen Dorff. I think he's brilliant. The Gate is probably one of my favorite films ever. you ever seen The Gate?
I haven't actually, just kind of like, you know, if that makes sense, yeah.
Go back and watch that.
That's my homework. Okay.
Absolutely. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. Definitely keep in touch, Kieran. It'd be great 100%. To get, if you've got a feature coming, let me know. And
100%, we can look
at putting it up here in Scotland. Eh? So it's been great. Again, can't thank you enough for giving us your time. I know you're going to Spain tomorrow, so we will let you get, I don't know, you say you're organized, so you're probably already packed. If you're anything like me, it's day of.
No. Well, bag on the back 5 minutes before the flight's due.
Absolutely. No, I feel you. Well, all the best of luck with the next projects that come up. But like I say, we'd really like to see that. And I urge everybody watching at home or listening to this on, because we're available everywhere. You can, after this show goes live, we're available on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, but also on Spotify, Audible, everywhere. So anybody that's listening to this and that's not live with us tonight, heavy urge you to go and watch Terrible Things on the Arrow Player, which is where you can find it. That's pretty much the only place you can find it right now. Is that right?
The Arrow Player, if mm-hmm. and then also Alter.
Alter still has Alter's it.
Alter's YouTube channel. Yeah,
it's the alternative to Arrow.
Exactly. But I have to say that Arrow Player is gorgeous.
Right, and how many places actually do shorts? Not a lot. Like Netflix. Don't,
I know.
You know. So it's, I think,
and they should. I think, you know,
absolutely.
If you really think about the wealth of shorts that are out there, mm-hmm. it's like it's a market that's untapped
for sure. So yeah, we're heavy, really, really, really looking forward to seeing what happens next. It's just a shame J-Mac couldn't have been here tonight to give you his excitement. Same with Matthewman. I know, but next time. But next, we're very time, thankful exactly. to have seen this. It was really great, and we everybody should go and see it, as it's 9 minutes of your life that you will want to repeat. So if that's that's not good enough to be on the DVD cover, but one day, right?
Oh no, I'll put it in big block apples.
Absolutely. Again, thanks again, Kieran. It's been brilliant. And we look forward to seeing you next. Keep in touch, guys. And I think the next episode we've got is Wednesday. Bark is the next short film that we're I only watch them before. I don't watch them I like to stay fresh. It's no Wednesday. Today's Wednesday, isn't it? I've got a busy life. Friday is the next episode. But yeah, so great for a Wednesday night. What a treat it's been. Again, thanks very much, and I shall let you go and enjoy the rest of the night. And everybody, thanks for tuning in. See you guys on the next one. Thanks again, Kieran.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Cheers, mate.